Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10 and from verse 38. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Amen. I've actually given my sermon a title this morning. I've called it, "There's Something About Mary and Martha." I've been spending time thinking about what we've done today in terms of our friends Yvonne and Sandra and Rachel and the volunteers, and I've spent time thinking about, and as I've spent time thinking about them, I've thought about a number of things like hospitality and food and friendship. And the story that sprang to mind quite easily as I was thinking about these things was the one involving the sisters Martha and Mary. There were other stories that popped into my mind as I thought about hospitality and food and friendship, and we will touch on those. But let's first have a look at the sisters Martha and Mary. And the first thing I want to say is this is not a comparison. Okay? I'm not comparing our Yvonne and our Sandra to either Mary or Martha. Firstly, because I don't think it'd be fair. And secondly, because I'll probably get it horribly wrong. Too many mental gymnastics to put it all together. It's just about Martha and Mary and what we can learn from them. Personally, I think the older sister, Martha, has often had it quite tough because it seems she was on a different wavelength from her younger sister, Mary. But was Jesus simply dismissing Martha when he spoke to her? What might we take away from the story about the sisters, and what does it have to do with Yvonne and Sandra at the end of the day? See, the story of Mary and Martha is only found in the Gospel according to Luke, but that doesn't really matter because I believe it has quite a lot to say. And I think it adds to something special. It adds something special to the accounts of Jesus' life. And that is that he had good and normal relationships with people. That he didn't just travel around offering words of wisdom to people who came out to see him and to listen to him. And it's obvious from the story of Mary and Martha that Jesus was comfortable in their company, that they were comfortable in each other's company, that they were friends. You can see this in the way that Martha felt comfortable enough to have a word with Jesus about the fact that her sister Mary seemed to be letting her do all the work. And this is where it seems as if Jesus gave her her comeuppance. "Martha, Martha," he said to her, "you're worried and distracted by many things. There is a need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And at this point, you might ask yourself what you might have felt like were you in Martha's sandals. And your answer may be not so great. But it's here that I think we witness the depth of friendship that Jesus and the sisters shared, that Jesus felt comfortable in saying what he did to Martha. And I think when one hazards a guess at what kind of person Martha was, we see a person who had some admirable qualities, who was the salt of the earth, but could also be a bit like Violet Bouquet in keeping up appearances. Martha was the one who had invited Jesus into her home, and she was determined that he was going to get the best meal possible, and by rattling lots of pots and pans, Jesus was going to know about it. But when Jesus seemed to be spending more time with the sister Mary, Martha got annoyed. And I think we all know what that feels like. When you go out of your way to impress someone, or something steals your thunder and everything seems to be fall flat, you end up feeling disappointed. You end up feeling deflated. Perhaps Martha's motives were also a little skewed. Perhaps because she obviously loved Jesus, she wanted his praise to be told how good she was, but when it wasn't forthcoming in the way that she had thought it might, she was miffed. Personally, I don't think Jesus was dismissive of her. I think in saying her name twice when she moaned to him about Mary, Jesus reflected his knowledge of her and he gently put the brake on, letting her know that he was grateful for all she had done, but extravagance wasn't needed, only the simple things. I also think that Martha was the kind of person who believed that the stuff Jesus taught about and spoke about wasn't necessarily for her. She wasn't the bookish type, so to speak. Her place was in the kitchen, rattling those pots and pans, doing the practical things that needed to be done. And Jesus reminded her that although that might have been true of her, she also needed to be fed spiritually. That although we need our daily bread to survive and we need practically minded people to keep things going, we also need the bread of heaven to nourish our souls and our hearts and our minds. And so I think Jesus was encouraging her to spread her wings a little, to not confine herself to believing that she was only good for one thing, providing hospitality and cooking food. And lastly, I think he was encouraging her to do another massively important thing, and that was to rest in him. You see, I don't think Martha was all that comfortable within herself. I think she derived any value she might have placed on her life by being busy. In other words, she believed if she stood still and took a moment, wasn't doing things, especially for others, then she was worthless. And I believe Jesus wanted her to understand right in the bottom of her heart that that wasn't true, that she too could sit at his feet and listen to his words if she wanted to, that she could just be without any guilt, without it feeling worthless, as difficult as that might have been for her. And as for Mary, well, she was obviously quite a different person from her sister with a different type of personality. It seems she enjoyed being in the company of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. Perhaps as a younger person with less responsibility, she took advantage of the fact that Martha couldn't sit still and always had to be busy, knowing that things would somehow just get done. And if truth be told, Mary could probably have done more. But Jesus didn't see as much need in her as he saw in Martha. The need for Martha to know that she was loved. Not because of her amazing hospitality and the things that she could provide, but simply because she was Martha. In the pages of the Bible, hospitality is massively important. In the pages of the New Testament, in the life and ministry of Jesus, it was especially so. We know of a number of instances in the gospel where Jesus dined with people. And these instances were almost always massively important. In fact, we are told that Jesus was so well known for eating with sinners, or probably just fairly ordinary people, that he was known by his opponents as a glutton and a drunkard. In Matthew chapter 9, for example, we are told that Jesus was at Levi or Matthew's home having dinner. And around the table with him were disciples and tax collectors and a hodgepodge of people simply referred to as sinners. And his opponents witnessed this, shook their heads in disgust, and asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher sit with such people?" Jesus, overhearing what was said, told him, and then he added, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Now the rabbis did actually welcome repentant sinners into their midst. And so we have to ask, what was different here on this occasion? And what was different was the fact that Jesus sought them out. And we might think, well, he sought them out because he wanted to corral them into heaven. But there's a deeper reason that we need to see and understand, a deeper reason if we are to understand Jesus that we need to get our heads around and let sink very deeply into our hearts. And the deeper reason is simple. He loved them. Or to put it another way, the love of God dictated it. You see, Jesus knew that to treat a man as a pariah would never bring any form of healing to that man. It would only serve to drive him away and further away. Jesus knew that ostracism was both foolish and wrong. As one commentator wrote, ritual as a sign of worship, of a worshiping heart is acceptable to God, but ritual as a substitute for compassion is an offense. And this, as we saw last week, was what Jesus often encountered in those who had religious authority, who separated themselves from the masses, from the sinners, to remain ritually pure. Jesus met with the people. He ate with them. He spoke with them. He chatted with them, not because of what they had done or hadn't done, but because he loved them. With all the love of Jesus, of what Jesus' love entailed. In another wonderful example of his compassion and of his table time with others, we read the story in Luke of an occasion where Jesus had been invited to the home of a Pharisee. We're told that Jesus took his place at the table, and as he sat there or reclined, a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learnt that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house having a meal, brought an alabaster jar of perfume or ointment. Picture the scene in your mind. She stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she took the ointment and whilst kissing his feet, anointed his feet with the ointment. Not only was it highly unusual, but it was also highly embarrassing to the Pharisee whose home it was and to his guests. Doesn't he know what a wretch this is and what she's done? The Pharisee thought to himself. And then he thought about Jesus, so much for being a prophet. And then Jesus spoke to him, and the Pharisee, rather eager to hear an explanation, simply said, "Teacher, speak." And Jesus told the Pharisee and the other guests about different debts being forgiven and the fact that a person who's had a big debt forgiven or cancelled might love the one who has forgiven their debt more. And so it was with the woman, Jesus said. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, nor did I receive a kiss of greeting, but the moment this woman entered, she has wiped my feet with her tears and not stopped kissing them. The sins which were many are forgiven, hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. And what we witness in this encounter is deeply personal and intimate, and yet again Jesus draws those who aren't simply in need, but also recognize their need to himself, and he offers forgiveness and healing. Who was the woman? In three of the four Gospels, we're not given a name. And in the Gospel according to John, a woman named as Mary of Bethany, aka Martha's sister, anointed Jesus. But we're not 100% sure because all four accounts vary in differing ways. But friends, the name is not that important. It's not the point. What transpired and what it meant is what matters. Whoever the woman was, as a so-called sinner, she had a deep spiritual insight born out of her love for Jesus and what he had done for her. Anointing Jesus with an ointment or perfume that was used in burials as a foretelling of what was going to happen to him. And again, Hospitality provides the catalyst for all of this to take place. Last today, one of my favorite stories that ended up around the table in someone's home, so to speak. The story of our friend Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Even if Zacchaeus was never a tax collector, the story is still a poignant one. Now, we don't really know what was going on in Zacchaeus' life. Perhaps he was tired of being a cheat and being hated by everyone and wanted to turn over a new leaf. And in Jesus, he saw that opportunity. Perhaps he was simply curious. Maybe he had heard about Jesus and wanted to see what all the fuss was about. Maybe he wanted to see if Jesus would perform miracles, because that would definitely be a sight to see. I think it may have been a combination of all these things. But when Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' home for dinner, something changed in him, in Zacchaeus. I think it was the fact that Jesus had singled him out, a despised tax collector, and wanted to spend time with him. I think Jesus' acceptance of him as a human being, albeit a despised one, blew Zacchaeus' mind. I think possibly for the first time in his life, he was humble. His defenses were breached. Light shone into the darkness that was Zacchaeus' existence, and it moved him, and it also melted him. Just imagine that scene. And the people who witnessed it weren't impressed. We're told they grumbled because Jesus had gone to be the guest of a sinner. The author of Luke got what Jesus was about. Out of all the gospel writers, the author of Luke got that Jesus was for those on the fringes, those who were despised, those who were cast out by the society that they lived in. And for the author of Luke, Jesus simply cut through all of that and offered everyone acceptance and healing and salvation. And Zacchaeus declared that he would make amends for all the harm that he had done people, that he would give away half of all his possessions to the poor, and if he had defrauded anyone, he would give them back four times as much. Think about that. And as the lights went on in Zacchaeus' heart and mind and soul, so Jesus announced to all who could hear that salvation had come to Zacchaeus' home, that he too was a son of Abraham, that he had a place at the table. I think it's fair to say, I find it hard to imagine our church without its cafe. That the cafe has become such an integral part of the life of this church that I don't think of one without the other. I sometimes think to myself, it would be weird just to walk in and there wasn't a cafe. It would be unusual. It would be odd. And friends, I'm glad that this isn't a place, and this might sound weird, but think about it, where people have Christianity shoved down their throats, but is instead a place where people can experience the fruits of God's Spirit emanating from the lives of the people who work in the cafe. Why? Because it's through these fruits, the kind we witness in Jesus, fruits like love and kindness and peace and patience, that people, all people, know that they are welcomed and accepted. That they will be looked after and loved, even for a brief moment, in Jesus' name. All people were welcomed and accepted round the tables in the places Jesus frequented. All people must be welcomed and accepted at our tables. Amen.